Maybe you feel alone a lot, spiritually in particular. It's very painful in your home, in your life, in your family. Or maybe it's one of the children that you have that you love and you know needs Christ, and they're either rejecting Christ or they're disinterested or they're just wandering, and you're concerned about their spiritual life. And rightfully so, as a mom or dad. Well, welcome to Intentional Living. We're going to pick up on a topic we had several weeks ago on helping you in your home to pray for and wait upon what God is going to do in the life of your family. And during this half hour, pastor, author, teacher Will Davis Jr. joins me again, as he did a few weeks ago, and together we want to offer some help and hope, especially if you're feeling alone in that family when it comes to the area of faith. As you listen to the program, you may say, oh boy, I want to comment on that. Our comment line is open at 888-888-1717, or you can join us on Facebook, come through our website, get there, or you're always welcome to stop at theintentionallife.com. All right, Will Davis is back here today with us again today. Will, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing so well. Thank you again for having me, Randy. God bless you and what you do.
Well, yeah, thank you. And a few weeks ago when we were talking about this topic, we had calls coming in of people struggling with not being on the same page, not feeling like they're heading in the same direction. And as a pastor, when you see this, are there a few principles that you try to help your members deal with people they love or approach people they love, but who are rejecting faith?
There are some great biblical principles on approaching someone that you love deeply that is not embracing faith. And I would start off by saying, honestly, during good company, if you remember in the life of Jesus, it took a while for his family to come around.
Mm.
And there is even places where it's implied they kind of thought he'd lost his mind a little bit. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that at least the brothers of Jesus acted like they got it. So if you're in a situation where you're loving somebody who isn't loving the Lord like you do, you're not alone. Jesus has been there, and know that he'll comfort you in that. We talk a lot about, Randy, we talk a lot about patience and time, that life change rarely happens immediately. If you got somebody who's been living without God 10, 15, 20 years, they more than likely are going to take some time to find him.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about not preaching. Don't use your Bible as a weapon.
Yeah, easy to do.
Don't judge. Try to love. Talk about honor. But mostly I talk about prayer. Prayer is the game changer. And I could tell you, I could fill the 30 minutes with stories of prayers answered. People listening are not the exception. God will honor their prayers. So I would tell them to pray big and pray strong and pray aggressively and pray specifically and pray persistently and watch God work, because he will.
Mm. You know, last time you were with us, Will, you commented, you had a story about prayer with your wife, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want Betty to comment she on the comment line in Michigan with her story. So, Betty, go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years. And back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith. And my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course, I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just really just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it, because yeah, I wanted it so badly.
You were kind of like the Holy Spirit's assistant.
Oh, my gosh. I have a friend who woke me up, because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior.
There you go.
And so what I learned was, through my reading of the Scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions. And so I just let him see my love for Christ. And he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is, after 26 years, they just make me cry. Last year, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And a friend gave me a scripture a long time ago. It was Acts 26:18. It says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. so we can, they can have forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith.
Wow.
That's a great scripture. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, it's not me he's sending. You know, and I used to pray that it would be one of his friends or somebody else. And would you believe that in the end, it was me? So my point in calling is to tell people, don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ.
Mm, wow. Very good. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate that. Sometimes it takes a while. Will, you talk about praying big and wonder, what do you mean by that? I mean, when a person says, hey, I started out praying big, but it's been 5 years, been 10 years, and my prayers are kind of whittled down to breathlessness, kind of feeling overwhelmed, you know, spiritually. How do we pray big when we're discouraged with what's happening spiritually with someone we love?
I have to let the word of God keep me energized, or I will lose my faith and my will to keep fighting. Like, I totally get it. I think Betty said it was 26 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a haul. And but for the Holy Spirit wooing me and comforting me, and but for the word of God saying, look, we have a God who's in the miracle business. Don't bail. You might be one prayer away from breakthrough. I've got to keep that in mind. I believe that God moves mountains through prayer. I've learned, Randy, that some mountains move one stone at a time and then always go immediately to the sea. Sometimes they take a lot of time to dismantle a mountain. And your role is to be faithful. And the fruit and the success of that is up to God. Mm. So don't let God off the hook.
Yeah.
It is impossible to pray and have God not respond to that. So don't just because it's taking more time than you think it should, don't set a time limit for God. Let him work, give it time, and don't let him off the hook. Bombard heaven. You know the saying, push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And sometimes it's decades, but don't give up.
You know, you talk in your book, Pray Big, about the power of pinpoint prayers. What does that mean? How can that apply to the situation like Betty and others?
I got real convicted that my prayers were vague and very safe. It was kind of the God be with Tom, God bless Sue kind of praying, which really required nothing of God. And I feel like the Holy Spirit one day kind of busted me and said, what do you really want God to do? Pray it. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer, those intercessions of Jesus are very specific. Daily bread, deliver us from evil, build your kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. And so I got moved that we needed to pray as pointedly as we could to God, because pointed prayers, pinpoint prayers, are measurable. They require more faith. You know, asking God to cure world hunger is pretty vague. Mm. If I say, I need you to meet the needs of my neighbor next door miraculously, I'm going to know if he does that or not. That's a measurable thing, and that requires more faith. And so I've just said, let's just give God our best in prayer. He answers our best. He answers with his best. And so pinpoint prayers are direct, they're specific, they're biblical, they're measurable, and they're faith-bound, and God just loves them.
Absolutely. That's powerful. That's like setting goals, right? They have to be specific and measurable, and you have to articulate them and ultimately watch and see what happens. Author, pastor, Will Davis Jr. joining me today. We're talking about an important topic. We're going to get to that story about his wife, and also Kim's on the line from Kansas. She says her dad's heart is close to Christ. What does she do now? And what does she do now? How does she handle that? We'll get Kim, hang on. We're going to get to you in a minute. And Will, back to you too. A lot going on here today from Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Terry, just saw your status and thought I'd pass this on to you. Sounded like you could use a little encouragement today. Call me when you get a chance.
Encouraging others and living intentionally can be a real challenge. When you click like at our Facebook page, we hope you'll be encouraged to lead an intentional life every day. Share a kind word, comment on wall posts, and like Terry's friend, encourage one of your friends to become part of something great. Search for Intentional Living at Facebook. Click like, and then pass the word on to someone you care about. Find Intentional Living on Facebook today.
Yeah, listen, we're here to help you. That's what this ministry is all about. And if you listen to our radio network, you know we also have some great music artists that we share every day, including Zach Williams, Christian music artist. And he stopped by to share a little bit about, what do you say to parents, Zach, who are waiting for their kids? You're ministering to families and young people, and they're waiting on their kids to come and turn to Christ. What do you say to those parents?
Well, I would say, I can just say what I've seen my parents do. You know, they stayed faithful in their beliefs in God. They were constant prayer warriors for me and my wife. Even though they knew we weren't living a Christian life, they never judged us. They always accepted us. They showed us love just like Christ showed us. And I'm sure there were times in their life where they felt like they failed and they questioned, you know, if they were doing the right thing or why is this happening when we've dedicated our life to the Lord. But I just know through their prayer for myself that I think was what kept me rooted, and eventually, you know, I found my way back to the Lord, you know, and I think it was having that instilled in me at an early age ultimately changed my life.
Zach Williams, thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, my friend. Making a difference out there. Keep reaching people. Will Davis is here on the phone with us, actually, from his home in Austin, Texas. We're talking about feeling lonely when you're not on the same page spiritually with someone that you love, or you're wrestling because you inside, internally, because spiritually you're concerned about the well-being of someone that you do love. And that I think that's where Kim is in Kansas with a question today. Kim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Yeah, go right ahead. We got a little hum on your line, but I think it'll be okay. Go ahead.
I've been praying for my dad for a long time. He has a locked heart. I just been really, really deeply concerned. He doesn't love Mom and I like he needs to. I know he loves us, but it's just so hard.
Yeah.
He's not where I think he needs to be in his, you know, fathers are supposed to be role models for their kids. Well, he's not to me. And so that, I'm just concerned for him.
Well, that's a pretty mature position to be, you know, as a child of a parent and say, I want the best for my dad, but he's not the role model I wish he was spiritually. That says something about you, Kim. Will, I know you talk a lot about honoring. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. What does Kim do in honoring her dad?
Well, Kim, thanks for calling. You are honoring him by praying for him and being concerned for him. I think that it'd be interesting. I would be willing to bet that your dad didn't have a role model either. I can't know for sure, but there's a pretty your dad is like he is for a reason. Your dad's heart is locked. He wasn't born with a locked heart. Something happened to him along the way that made him cold toward Christianity and God, and it probably involves pain, more than likely. So your dad has a story, and if I were to join in with you in praying for your dad, I would pray for healing.
Yeah.
He's probably got deep pain somewhere. I know a lot of guys walk away from God because of how they've been disappointed or hurt or worse. Keep loving him. Keep speaking the best to him and expecting the best of him. Bombard heaven with his name, but you might add to your prayers, Lord, I want you to heal my dad, because more than likely he's got a deep, deep wound, which is behind why he's acting like he is. And God is the healer, and he will heal your dad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Will, for sharing that. Thank you, Kim. We're talking about when you feel alone, you're struggling because of someone you love in your family spiritually. We're talking about spiritual things today. And Jake wants to join in with a question from New Mexico. Jake, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. So my question is, I grew separate from my faith as a teenager, and this year I met this amazing woman. She's really close to God and very strong in her faith, and she inspired me to pursue my faith. And And since I've started on that journey, I've seen countless blessings and countless signs that I'm doing the right things. And recently she decided not to pursue a relationship based on the fact that I'm not as close to God as she would like me to be. And so now I'm struggling with how do I continue to pursue my relationship with God without this feeling that I'm doing it for her, like for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
How do I find my own place in my, you know, pursuit of a relationship with God without that feeling?
Wow.
I'm wondering if you had any tips.
Interesting. Interesting. And I think a mature question, Jake. You're saying that you want this to be real for you. And it's interesting. The first thing that came to my mind was training wheels on a little bike. You know, it's like when we start, you got training wheels, but there's a point you got to get rid of the training wheels. You don't need the training wheels and you're riding the bike. And it sounds like this young lady that you respected and cared for came along and was instrumental in helping you get going on those training wheels. But there's a point where you got to take them off. Is this real for you or not? Is this a transformation in your life? Do you want to grow if you never see this woman again in your life? And Jake, you and I have been around long enough in ministry to know that some people, guys and ladies, but guys in particular, sometimes in an attempt to try to woo over or win the heart of a woman will become spiritual, but for the wrong reasons. And that's like the seed that lands on the soil that doesn't take and it doesn't grow. And so what do you say to Jake? He's saying, hey, I don't know exactly what I should be doing at this point.
Jake, I'm really proud of you, and I applaud you calling. I applaud the stand you're taking. Don't be beat up, please. Don't feel beaten up by this young lady's actions. She may have actually done you a favor because you're in a situation now to pursue Jesus for who he is without the distraction, and they are distracting, of a wonderful young lady. And you're going to probably move from a secondhand faith through her to a firsthand faith, where you get to know Christ for himself. So I think in your prayers, you ask God to make himself real to you. You want to pursue him because you love him and have been touched by him, and not just because it's great to start that way because the girl led you to him. But now you get to experience God firsthand without her kind of as your intermediary, and that'll make your faith more profound and better. And he'll honor it. So don't feel discouraged. Ask God to make himself real to you, and your faith will go from being kind of what she taught you to what you're experiencing on your own, and then you'll take off, buddy. And I have great hopes and expectations for you.
All right. Stay at it, Jake, my friend. Keep trusting God. Thank you for calling. And I'm glad you're listening to the radio too, my friend. We're here for you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We're going to get back to some more calls. We're talking today with Will Davis Jr. Will is an author and a speaker, a pastor, and he's from Texas. You may hear that a little bit. Born and raised in Austin, Texas. And there he speaks to us on the helping us sort through this thing of how do we care for the people that we love when they're spiritually, we're not on the same page. We talk about division, and division is nothing more than a divided vision. And so it's important to have a shared vision, but sometimes you don't spiritually. How do you handle that? That's what we're talking about. We'll have more coming up here in just a moment.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wish I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? And I thought of, and you could probably think of many others, but I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. I don't want to be wrong. Some people fear loss because there's always a loss. Here's the truth. When I pick this, I don't pick that. Or the fear of missing out. Or the fear of not knowing enough. Some people say, hey, until I know everything, I'm not going to make a decision at all. Or the fear of looking foolish. Some of us just, you know, I don't say yes or no just because I'll look foolish. It comes down to fear Write the word fear, fear, fear. What does Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. That's God's intention for us. That's a reality. Members, members only, the teaching, the power of yes or no, the trade-off of life, is on CD coming your way, maybe already at your home. Thank you for your support. If you're not a member, you can receive this teaching today by joining us in monthly support and ongoing each and every month, a brand new teaching from our club to you to say thanks. And by the way, this month, for every gift, as you share in a love gift, a generous gift to the ministry, if you request it, we'll send you the book for the Christmas season, a small little book called Made to Thrive at Christmas. It's a little book that has some scripture and quotes and things that you can read and meditate on and think about as we enter the Christmas season. Just go to the website anytime, theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Today, we're focusing on this topic that's been on my heart about the spiritual, one of the essential areas of life, our faith, our spiritual well-being. And when everybody's on the same page, there's more joy and contentment and a sense of community. But when you have someone you love, a spouse or a child, and they're not on the same page, it hurts. How do you handle that? We invited author and pastor Will Davis Jr. to join us to help us sort through this a little bit today. And he's on the line from Austin, Texas. Let's go to Arizona, where Jacqueline wants to weigh in with a question on line one. Go right ahead, Jacqueline. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. And so really glad to be online. And my question was, my grandpa, he passed away in 2016, mm-hmm. and he is the only person that spoke of God. Mm-hmm. And so a couple years before he passed, I would call him once a week. And he always mentioned, you know, how good God was and prayer, how he prayed for me and my family every night. And so when he passed, I inherited his Bibles, and he always said to read the Bible every day and to go to a church that believes in the Trinity. And my question is I'm struggling with growing. I did find a church, and I do belong to a Bible study once a week, mm-hmm. small group.
So you know Christ? You know him personally?
No. I don't think my prayers are... I have no problem praying for others. I just struggle with my faith when I pray for mm-hmm. myself.
So you don't feel like you're... Do you really feel like you have a relationship with Christ at all? Or is it just sort of... Since your grandpa's gone, that was the connection point, and it's not really real to you.
Yeah, it's not really real.
Okay, Pastor Will. What do we say to Jacqueline?
Hey, Jacqueline. Thank you for calling. I think you may be closer than you realize, but the Bible simply says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think God gave you an amazing gift of a godly granddad. And it is time for you, if you have not already, to transfer, to make his prayers answered by making sure you know that you love Jesus and you've surrendered to him. And the scripture says you can know you have eternal life by asking for Christ. And you ought to pray with us right now, Jacqueline, if you want to. I'll let Randy kind of take it from here. But mm-hmm. you ought to say, you know, Lord Jesus, I want to close this door and be sure and remove all doubts that I love you and follow you. And that's what your granddad prayed for, is why he was in your life. And you can make sure it'll help you grow. I guarantee you that, if you take the doubt away. So you ought to just make sure. You ought to get on your knees and say, Jesus, I want you. I'm going to follow you. I surrender. I confess that I believe you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're not already saved, ma'am, you will be at that moment, because God honors that.
Is that something you're ready to do and want to do at this moment?
Yes.
Jacqueline, listen, you're going to, in the process of doing that, you're making your grandfather's faith your own, not just his. Let me share a prayer and you can pray it yourself, but let it come from your own heart. Is that okay?
Okay.
So join me. Let me share this, and then you repeat it. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
And I know that you love me.
And I know that you love me.
And I know your intention is good for me.
And I know your intention is good for me.
I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
And remove all sin from my life today.
And remove all sin from my life today.
I make you Lord of my life today.
I make you Lord of my life today.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's the whole. That's why we're here, Jacqueline. Listen, what you did.
I've got goosebumps in Austin, Texas. I want y'all.
There
to
you
know.
Go.
Head to toe goosebumps. Way to go, kiddo.
And listen, this is between you and God. God has done, and we've had a chance to listen in to see what God is going to do in your life. Now, as Jesus is in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to grow in your life. When you go to church, you need to be around people where the Bible is being taught. You need to have women around you and support group that's going to help you grow to realize that you're going to have challenges, but God is real, and His transformational, His intentional love, as we say, will change your life and your attitude. And what in the past has felt kind of like grandpa's faith is now yours, Jacqueline. Amen?
Amen.
All right, listen.
So good.
Listen, I'm going to put you on hold, and I want the team to follow up just to talk a little bit. And let's send her the intentional word, okay? Let's send Jacqueline the intentional word. It's our reading program. It's the entire Bible in a reading program that'll take you through reading scripture in 1 year. And we're going to get that to you. So hold on. Okay, Jacqueline?
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Will, that's why we're here. I can't think of any better use of our time for this last half hour than this.
Pretty much done. There you go. That's awesome.
All right. Hey, listen, thank you, Will, for joining me and being a part of this experience today. And let's continue to pray for Jacqueline and others who are listening. And maybe as you heard Jacqueline pray, that's a prayer you shared as well. Let us know so we can continue to engage you and pray with you. Find a church where the Bible is being taught and get plugged in and allow God to do a work in your life. Again, Will, thank you, my friend, for being with us.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. This is great. This is Intentional Living. Those of you who are team members and support the ministry, this is what you're supporting. This is why we do this. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center. In the meantime, come and check out information on our website. If you want to know more about Will Davis Jr. and his books and writings, come to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time.